Chapter 23. Hinterland Excursions. The more time I spent in Nairobi with my father and his second wife at the end of 1967, the more opportunities I had to meet people who were doing interesting things. As my circle of friends grew, so did the invitations to be part of exploratory excursions to sites of interest within striking distance of Nairobi. I was always keen to be part of field trips, organized by the adventurous young Americans living in Kenya at that time. The young Americans fell into two camps. Either students like me on holidays, or Peace Corps volunteers, who were a little older, with a deeper understanding of East Africa's history and people. Most spoke Swahili, and a number had also learned to speak Maasai or Kikuyu, the two most widely spoken tribal languages in Kenya. With boundless curiosity, coupled with the energy of youth, and unlimited access to transport with white on red number plates, we could go anywhere, protected by diplomatic immunity. My father and Alison were only too happy for me to head off into the wide blue yonder, knowing I'd be safe with young people they considered suitable traveling companions. To be honest, I reckon they were relieved to have me out of their hair for a day, off exploring Kenya with a no-frills modus operandi, a far cry from the level of personal comfort they preferred. It was a perfect arrangement for all concerned. My new friend, Tim Jansen, was the first cab off the rank. He invited me to join him on a day trip to Ola Gasaili, a Paleolithic site, situated close to the border with Tanzania. The site was excavated by Mary and Louis Leakey in the 1940s, and, as Tim was working with them over the holidays, I assume the site was discussed, with exciting backstories told, over morning tea. With his interest whetted, he wanted to visit the site for himself. We headed off early with provisions and water packed for Tim's orphaned infant baboon and ourselves. The day was clear and the landscape colors vivid, as we drove 70-odd kilometers southwest of Nairobi, on single-lane bitumen. The road surface eventually morphed into a rough dirt track, as we pushed further into Maasai country. Even though Tim had told me a little about the significance of Ola Gasaili, a prehistoric site where hand axes were manufactured by the thousands, I wasn't prepared for the extraordinary step back into prehistory that I was about to take. We arrived and parked the combi. Tim took the baby baboon from his cage, and, as it was a hot day, we three enjoyed a long drink of water before setting off to explore. With the infant baboon clinging to Tim's shirted chest, we wandered down to the raised semicircular walkway, taking us over the top of a scattering of hand axes that spread out in clusters, as far as the eye could see. I was gobsmacked. To see so many artifacts that had withstood the African climate for over half a million years was an awesome experience. There were no words. Tim explained that between 1.2 million to 400,000 years ago, Ola Gasaili had a reliable source of water, a lake, that supported both hominin and animal life, including extinct forms of hippo, elephant, zebra, giraffe, baboon, and amphibians. Thanks to Tim, my interest in paleoanthropology was piqued as we wandered the site, picking our way between the dense scatterings of discarded hand axes and stone fragments. In the silence, I wondered what life would have been like here in the Pleistocene, 900,000 years ago, when hand axe fabrication was in full swing, using the numerous varieties of naturally occurring volcanic rock in the area. This now parched landscape was once covered in grass, explaining why many of the fossilized animal bones excavated were of herbivores, with their teeth worn down from a lifetime of chewing. We'd had a fascinating day, and I was still in a state of overwhelm as we drove back to Nairobi, whilst the infant baboon slept. When Tim had suggested a field trip to Ola Gasaili, I didn't really know what to expect. Now I'd seen the site, I wanted to know more about the napping technology used to make hand axes by the Ola Gasaili people many thousands of years ago. Tim was the full bottle on the technique, explaining that percussion was used to create sharp-edged tools, used for cutting, scraping, and digging. I was left with lots to think about. A week or so later, I was invited to join Tim, Mary Jameson and a collection of her Peace Corps friends, on yet another field trip. This time, south into Tanzania, visiting the spectacular Ngorongoro crater, a 7-hour drive, passing through Arusha. One of our party knew the area well and spoke Maasai fluently. He suggested a shortcut that would take hours off our traveling time. As it would be a very long day, we loaded the combi with all we needed, including the infant baboon, before leaving Nairobi at dawn's crack. We became somewhat concerned as we drove, and drove, and drove, without sighting a soul. Where were we? Were we on the right road? We rejoiced when a human figure hove into view. It was a Maasai woman walking beside the road, carrying an assortment of black bundles. As we drew level and stopped, our dust cloud enveloped her. When the dust had settled, our Maasai speaker asked directions. An unintelligible conversation followed, after which it was decided it'd be simpler for her to come with us, to show us the way. As the woman moved to climb aboard, a dense cloud of black flies arose from all she carried, to hover, and then follow her, as she stepped up into the back of the combi. Then, it was our turn to rise as one from sitting, in a rush to access fly-free air, through the open safari roof, where we stood, clutching the metal bars surrounding the opening, and taking slow deep breaths. The Maasai woman traveled with us for some kilometers, directing us this way and that. Then, after giving final directions, we stopped, and she alighted, leaving behind a number of her flying companions to continue traveling with us. Thanks to her, we were now on the right track. When we finally arrived at the crater's edge, we celebrated with gusto, before taking some time to admire the magnificent panoramic view of greenness that stretched out below us. We then followed the narrow track over the edge and down, to explore. As we descended, there was no sign of life, either animal or human. Wanting to stretch our legs after a long, hot, dusty drive, we opted to park the combi and wander off, through the waist-high grass, in search of game. Our foolhardy decision didn't seem strange at the time. I later discovered that Ngorongoro Conservation Area is home to over 25,000 wild creatures. And I'm so pleased we didn't encounter anything that was large, angry or hungry, as we wandered around. Thankfully, the return trip to Nairobi was uneventful, and we arrived home with our adventurous spirit intact. I'd thoroughly enjoyed my day out with the Americans, even though the only game we sighted was one of our number, Tim's infant baboon, traveling in his cage at the rear of the combi. Our field trip to Ngorongoro Crater confirmed my new friends were fearless and fun to be with. And I secretly harbored hopes that I'd be invited to join similar excursions at a later date. Time would tell. On reflection. Ola Gasaili. Reflecting on the Ola Gasaili field trip, I'm struck by the significance of visiting the site with an infant baboon. At the site, previous excavations have found fossil evidence of both the infant baboon's ancestors and my own. Was it my imagination, or was I hearing their call across a million years? I did wonder if by choosing to be there, I was unconsciously responding to their call? I'll never know, but to be taken back to the cradle of humankind affected me deeply at the time, and still does, to this day. Ola Gasaili was my introduction to napping technology, and after my visit, I thought no more about it, until some years later, when I worked as an archaeological illustrator for the Mexican government. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Ngorongoro Crater. I consider wandering unprotected through waist-high grass in the vast Ngorongoro Crater to be one of the foolhardiest things I've ever done, before or since. In hindsight, I think we were spared encounters with wildlife because we'd arrived at midday, the hottest part of the day. Most living creatures wait out the heat, resting under a shady tree until late afternoon, when they get active. I still find myself shaking my head in disbelief when I reflect on our decision to leave the combi, to wander the crater. Oh, the folly of youth. Field trips. Reflecting on both the Olagasali and the Ngorongoro crater field trips, I have come to realize how fortunate I was to be included. I was in the right place at the right time. When I returned to Nairobi for Christmas the following year, all the fun Americans had moved on. As a result, I've come to realize how many formative experiences are serendipitous in nature. To this day, I'm most grateful to those who were happy to have me tag along to visit less accessible sites of interest. Facts. Diplomatic immunity is a form of legal immunity ensuring diplomats and their families safe passage. Foreign nationals in the employ of their governments, or, as in my father's case, the United Nations, can't be charged or prosecuted under the host country's laws, although they can be expelled. The concept and custom of diplomatic immunity dates back thousands of years. Olagasali. The extensive site provides important evidence of hand axe culture and manufacture. It has the highest concentration of hand axes found anywhere in the world. The site was discovered in the 1940s by paleoanthropologists Louis and Mary Leakey, and further excavated in the 1960s. The work now continues under the guidance of the Smithsonian Institution, based in the United States of America, and the Kenyan Museum of Natural History, with the site continuing to reveal archaeological treasures. Several butchering sites have been excavated, containing quantities of fossilized bone fragments of extinct animal species, and numerous bifacial tools, made from the 14 different types of volcanic rock, found in the area. Hominins. A primate of a taxonomic tribe, Hominini, which comprises those species regarded as human, directly ancestral to humans, or very closely related to humans. Knapping. The technique used to produce flaked stone tools. Made by hitting a rock with a harder one, in such a way that fragments of specific sizes and shapes are extracted from it. Ngorongoro Crater. Located at 1800 meters above sea level, the crater formed between 2.5 and 2 million years ago, when the Ngorongoro mountain erupted, with a volcanic blast so ferocious that it caved in on itself. The implosion created a caldera, spanning 260 square kilometers, that is 610 meters deep. Ngorongoro Crater is unique as the world's largest dry crater. The only one not to have filled with water, to become a lake. In 2013, the crater was voted one of the seven natural wonders of Africa.